it wouldn't be reasonable to introduce chapter 27 without telling you that this is a chapter of Tehillim that most of the Jewish people in the world today, certainly in most of communities, Ashkenaz, recite this chapter from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Shmini Atzeres, till the end of Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. Some recite it on Shmini Atzeres as well. And there are certain Sephardic communities where this chapter of Tehillim is actually recited every single day, which tells us that this must be a very special chapter of Tehillim. So I first want to talk about the custom of reciting this chapter of Tehillim during the month of El, which is talked about in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It's talked about in the short version of the Shulchan Aruch, although in the big Shulchan Aruch it does not appear. It's mentioned in the Alter Rebbe's Siddur. The Alter Rebbe writes it as halach in the Siddur, but in the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch does not appear either, and the Mishnah Berurah talks about it in his commentary when he speaks. The big Shulchan Aruch introduces the idea that we blow the shofar during every single day of the month of El. He introduces this notion that we also recite the David Hashem Ori. The first time this custom is mentioned, at least in print, is in a book that was authored by a rabbi whose name was Chaim Cohen. I know you know many Chaim Cohens, but there was a famous Reb Chaim Cohen who lived in Tzfat, and he was a disciple of Reb Chaim Avital, who was the star pupil of the Arizal. And he mentions that there's this custom during the month of Elul and the subsequent days, the first days of the year, to recite Psalm 27. And he doesn't really give a reason. There's a sefer called Mateh Ephraim, which was written by one of the great rabbis of the 19th century, whose name was Reb Ephraim Zalman Margolis. And he wrote a book about customs of the high holidays. He wrote a number of important books. And in the Mateh Ephraim, he says over there that this notion of reciting the chapter 27, each and every single day of the month of Elul, is linked and connected to the fact that there's a medrash that interprets this verse, or the first few verses, as relating to the month of Elul in general, and more specifically to the high holidays. This is found in Medrash Tilim. It's also found in the Medrash Abba and Vayikra. It says, Ori, my light, this is Rosh Hashanah. Yishi, my salvation, this is Yom Kippur. And he goes on to say that Bekarav Alayim Mereim, and when they have this Lech Les Psari Vayivali, all the negative kind of forces that are out to get me, this is the concept of the Ketrugim, of evil decrees that are leveled against the Jewish people. And we're going to talk about some more details soon. I'm just giving you a general heads up. And he says that this is the response of David HaMelech, that I am absolutely convinced that Hashem is taking care of me. And he says, Bezos Anivoteach, which is probably where we're going to get to today. The end of verse 3, in this I am certain, he says, that refers actually to Aaron, HaKohen, and Yom Kippur, as it says, Bezot Yavo Aaron. Okay, so the Mateh Ephraim tells us that we have a medrash that seems to understand the initial opening of chapter 27 of the David Hashem Oiri as relating to the high holidays, as relating to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The Mateh Ephraim also suggests that later on it says, Ki Yitzpeneni B'sukai, that he covers me with his sukkah, and he says, well, Yitzpeneni B'sukai, that's a reference to the festival of Sukkot. So interestingly, the Shar HaKoilo, which is a book primarily on the Alter Rebbe Siddur, explaining why we do different things in the Siddur, in his commentary, the Shar HaKoilo says that probably the Mateh Ephraim found that in the Medrash somewhere also, that there's a Medrash that connects the idea of the concept of the sukkah that's mentioned here as being a reference to the festival of Sukkot as well. And that is the reason, says the Mateh Ephraim, that we recite this chapter of Tehillim during the course of Elul and the first days of Tishrei. And the Shar HaKoil asks a very interesting question. He says this is not the only chapter of Tehillim that has allusion to a particular time of the year or particular festival or something special we do. He says, why all of a sudden, because there's one medrash or two medrashim that mention a correlation between chapter 27, between the Levad Hashem Oiri, and between high holidays, that all of a sudden this becomes a custom of reciting this specific psalm each and every single day. So the Shar HaKoilo actually disagrees with the Mateh Ephraim, and he says that the most plausible reason that we do this is because The name Yudke Vavke, the ineffable name of God, is mentioned during the course of the recitation of this psalm no less than 13 times. And he said that we have a teaching from the Rabbeim, which really precedes even probably the Baal Shem Tov, but the Baal Shem Tov articulates this, and the Alter Rebbe has many memorim about it, that the idea of Elul is revelation of Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, of Hashem's 13 attributes of mercy. So since Elul is a special time, a time which is, so to speak, described as when God's mercy is available, is like, for lack of better terminology and the risk of being a little crass, God is in a merciful mood, and he's available and ready to accept us, and Alter Rebbe's famous example of the king in the field. So this is the reason that we say the chapter of L'David Hashem Oiri, because presumably it's the only chapter of Tillim that has this concept of Hashem's name mentioned specifically 13 times. The other place, where does that come from? So that comes from the Siddur, which was written by a great mystic whose name was Reb Shabtai Rashkovir. Reb Shabtai Rashkovir was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, and he wrote a Siddur. He arranged a Siddur. And that is the first time the L'David Hashem Oiri actually appears in the order of prayer. It's mentioned by the disciples of the Arizal, but it does not appear in the order of prayer. The first time it appears in the order of prayer is Reb Shabtai Siddur. Now, what's interesting is that Reb Shabtai Siddur is not printed until 1794, which means that this custom that has become ubiquitous in every single community of Ashkenaz, to the best of my ability, in these days, everybody says it, is, it would seem, about 200 years old. Now, there's a general principle in Torah that when something becomes widespread and accepted by all Jewish communities, that's indicative of the truth, some kind of importance, something really meaningful beyond what the eye sees. And this is one of those fascinating things that's fairly recent and yet entirely widespread. So there is a connection between this chapter of Tillim and between the recitation during this time of the year. I'll add one more little detail, that in the end of the Pasuk of Tillim it says, Luli Hemanti B'tuv Hashem Beretz Chaim, which Luli kind of means, if not that I believed in the goodness of God. And the Baal HaTurim, in Parshas Nitzavim, he talks about Es Levavcha V'Es Levav Zarecha, a Pasuk in Parshas Nitzavim that refers to Hashem opening our hearts and sensitizing our hearts, and he says, Es Levavcha V'Es Levav, spells the word Elul. And the Baal HaTurim says, you know, that in Tehillim there's a word that says Lulei. And the word in Tehillim, Lulei, Hemanti, B'tuv Hashem, is also connected to Elul, because Lulei, Lamed Vav, Lamed Aleph, is scrambled the month of Elul. And the same thing is also found in the Ben Ish Chai, refers to the Tehillim, chapter 27, which we're going to study today, as in some way connected to Elul. There are those who say that the reason that we recite the David Hashem Oiri, this chapter of Tehillim, during the month of Elul, and into the new year, is also connected to that concept of Lulei Hemanti. I cannot tell you a source because I haven't found a source, a real serious source. I mean, there are people who say it. But so it is a Baal HaTurim, the Baal HaTurim says this, but I don't know of a source that actually says this is the reason that we say it. The basic two reasons that we receive are the Mate Ephraim, which is that the Medrash says that this refers to the high holidays, and we have the idea of the 13 attributes of mercy. One more little interesting detail, and then we'll get on with business, start to study Mizmer Chav Zayin, the 27th Psalm, is that later on, the Shar HaKoylel, the Rebbe's grandfather, Avram David Lavut, he says, why do we say it until Hoshana Rabbah? What's up with exactly till Hoshana Rabbah? So he says something very, very interesting. He says, as mentioned, this is connected to the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem's special name, and he says, you know, the gematria of that special name of God is 26. And he says that the day of Hoshana Rabbah is the 26th day of creation. Because if the world is created on the 25th day of Elul, that's the day of Bereshis, Bara, Lekimus, Hashemayim, Vesaretz, that's the day the cosmos start to become formed. Rosh Hashanah is on the 6th day of creation, when Adam and Eve are created. So he says there's this idea that Hashem's kindness extended for the first 26 generations until Torah was given, first 26 days from creation of the world. We talk about Hashem's Ori V'Yishu, we talk about Hashem's kindness, Hashem's love for us, and that's why we have to recite these special psalm, this special verses. It brings us blessing during a time of judgment, and we know also Hoshana Rabbah is the final day of judgment, so that's why the recitation of Mizmor Chav Zayin, of the 27th psalm, lasts until the end of Hoshana Rabbah. All right, I just thought that was kind of like meaningful, because if we're going to study the chapter of Tehillim, we should probably know its place in Jewish history and in custom and liturgy. So this is what's special about the chapter of Tehillim. There aren't that many chapters of Tehillim that have so much special attention given to it. There are some chapters of Tehillim we recite in our davening on a daily basis. We'll talk about those when we get to them. There are some chapters of Tehillim that are recited on a weekly basis, on Shabbat. There are rare selections of Tehillim that are recited during special times of the year. There is no chapter of Tehillim that is recited twice a day for almost 2 months, for 1 3/4 months, other than chapter 27, L'dav Hashem Eiri. We'll get to Lulei at the end of the literal translation would be if not for. But we'll get to that in Eretz Yisrael. Now, I'm going to refer to this medrash that I mentioned to you again. I mentioned it really in passing, just to introduce the chapter of Tehillim to you. Let's move forward with the actual study of the Tehillim. And okay, you know what? Before we go further, I'm just going to give you one more little thought on L'dav Hashem Eiri and its connection to the holidays. This is not fully substantiated, so I can't tell you that this is the reason, but this is just something I thought of and I thought was interesting, so I'm going to share it with you anyway. Final preface. Rosh Hashanah. What do we know? It's called the Day of Judgment. So suppose that you were in a court, some very serious charges brought against you, and today is the day the verdict's coming down. Today's the day they're going to decide if you spend the next 10 years in prison, or if you're going to be under house arrest, or if you're being exonerated. Let's say. Your name is OJ, let's say. And you're getting, this is the day when your judgment's getting handed down. So it's a happy day. Relaxed. I'm going to go do some golfing. Oh, it could be happy. Could be. But the day that you know you're being judged is generally a stressful day, uncomfortable, tense day. Those are all words. So how is Rosh Hashanah spent? Rosh Hashanah is spent doing tense things, nervous things, unhappy things. What does a child think of when the child hears about Rosh Hashanah? It's happy. Apples and honey. It's very happy. It's big meals. Bobby and Zadie are there, or whoever, and Zadie comes over. I don't know. Like a family gets together. It's like a Yom Tov, right? What do we wear? You wear fine clothes, Shabbat clothes, Yom Tov clothes. So the Tur actually quotes the Medrash, which is found in the Talmud Yerushalmi and another Midrashim, on the pasuk Mi Goy Gadol Asher Lo Yalikim Krev Milav. The pasuk is found in Parshas Veschanon, and Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people how fantastic they are. He says, "Where do you find such a nation that Hashem is so close to them?" So the Medrash says about this, Eza Uma, what kind of nation is this, that they know the way of God? They know what the future is going to bring. And the Torah goes on to quote the Medrash. He says, Min Hagir Shalaylam, the nature is Adam Shesh Leidin, it's being judged, it's got a verdict coming. Any day Echeitzid Dine, he doesn't know how it's going to work out. So he's uncomfortable, he's unhappy, he's stressed out. But when it comes to Am Yisrael, Enokin, it's not so. Loshim Levanim, we wear the finest of clothes. Satvim Belevanim, we wrap ourselves in finery. Ve'ichlin, Ve'shoysin, Ve'smechim, we rejoice, we're happy on Rosh Hashanah. Why? Lefisha Yodim, because we know Shakash Baruch Hu Yasal Lehem Neis, Hashem is going to do a miracle for us, and everything is going to work out. So what would you call that word in English? What would you call that? I would call it trust. I trust everything's going to be good. What's that called in Hebrew? Bitachon. Emunah, I believe in something. Bitachon means I trust. Right? Everyone's pointed out to somebody in the American dollar, it doesn't say in God we believe. It says in God we trust. Trust is much more profound emotion than belief. Belief, I believe it, and therefore, and nothing, it doesn't change my life. Trust is, I trust you, and therefore, because I trust you, I trust in Hashem, I'm ready to leave things, so to speak, in your possession. I'm gonna trust you with information. So I trust you. So that's the relationship we have with Hashem. We trust Hashem. So this is an act of bitachon. The interesting thing is that the first three psukim, the first three verses of chapter 27, speak about bitachon, about absolute trust in Hashem. I thought that's very interesting. So I'm thinking maybe there's some kind of connection between the way we Jewish people have this betachen, that we have this, we're so certain Hashem is going to do something good for us, that not only we feel certain in our hearts and minds, not only we feel good, but we're actually even rejoicing that we're dressed up and we're eating and we're having a wonderful grand old time because it's Rosh Hashanah when we should be really nervous, but instead we're very calm because we trust in Hashem. So like I said, it's very interesting that David HaMelech begins with an enormous emphasis on his bitachon, on his trust in Hashem. So maybe that's connected. Maybe not. I don't know. But either way, you learn something nice about Rosh Hashanah. So that's why I figured I can't go wrong by sharing that. LeDavid. This chapter of Tillim comes from David HaMelech. Now, whenever we have a chapter of Tillim that begins with the word LeDavid, we know that this is one of the Mizmorim, one of the chapters that David HaMelech himself composed. There are 10 chapters that were composed by Moshe Rabbeinu. There are chapters of Tillim that were composed by the Bnei Korach. Korach was a bad guy, but his children did tshuva, and they survived. And some of his grandchildren were extraordinary people, and they had a wonderful aptitude, a spiritual aptitude for singing Hashem's praises and for understanding the core essence of the spiritual message that every one of us could relate to. And that's what David HaMelech included their prayers, their compositions in Tillim also. There was a fellow whose name was Asaph. He wasn't called a prophet, but he was with Ruach HaKodesh, had the Holy Spirit upon him. Mizmur LaAsaf. Many Mizmurim at Asaf said. And then there are chapters of Tillim that David HaMelech himself composed. So when a chapter of Tillim begins with the word LeDavid, then you know for sure that this is one of those that was composed by David. Now the question is asked, if David composed it, why doesn't it say Tefillah LeDavid or LeDavid HaMelech? Why do we talk about David without giving any kind of title, any kind of any honor or any glory? So Reb Moshe Alshich says like this. He says, when David HaMelech poured himself forth in prayer, he says that was the idea of Mesirat Nefesh. He reached a level of total self-abnegation. He transcended self altogether. So it's not self-expression in the literal sense, because if it's David HaMelech's self-expression, that's great for David. What does it have to do with me or any of us? That's something that happened for David HaMelech once upon a time. But when David HaMelech reached the level of Mesiras Nefesh, so Moshe Alshich says on this commentary in the 25th chapter of Tillim, he says, in the 25th chapter, L'David Eilecha Hashem Nafshi Esa. That's the first time we have a chapter of Tillim that shows up with the word LeDavid, two psalms earlier. So Alshich says, LeDavid, when it comes to David, David's own composition, it's Eilecha Hashem Nafshi Esa. He gave his soul entirely. He entered into a state of absolute sacrifice, of absolute devotion. Transcend itself entirely. And he says, if it's Mesiras Nefesh, so then it's like the idea of beyond life almost, post-life. And post-life, he says, Ein Shilton B'Yoham Bavis, there's no rulership on the day of death, so is there Pasuk in Kohelet, in Ecclesiastics, and therefore he says, that's why it says, L'David Stam. Logic would tell us that if that's the case with L'David, Eilecha Hashem Nafshi Esa, in chapter 25, probably that applies to any of the psalms that begin with the word L'David. So we're going to use that approach. So this is a beautiful and profound prophetic composition that David HaMelech pours himself forth in prayer in a way that relates to every one of us. And he says, Hashem Ori V'Yishi. God is my light and God is my salvation. Mimi Ira, from who shall I fear? That's how David HaMelech begins the chapter of Tillim. The question, of course, is, what is the meaning of God is my light? What does that mean? So the Metzudas David says, Hashem ma'ir li be'es tzara. God illuminates me during a time of sorrow, a time of challenge, of difficulty. The word tzara means I'm squeezed. I'm not able to function well because I'm having tzaras. So tzaras could be somebody's bank account. Tzaras could be a loss of health. Tzaras could be stress because of children. Tzaras can be all kinds of things. Tzaras can be imagined tzaras. People wanted something that they really didn't need and they didn't get it, so they feel they have tzaras now. But a tzar, when a person is in tzar, a person is literally in pain. In Hebrew, that means they feel themselves in a squeezed place. They're not able to easily express themselves. You don't feel like you got it together. So David HaMelech says, in a time of tzar, when I don't feel that I have clarity, because that's how you would feel if you were in a tzara. People can't think when they're in the middle of a tzara. Somebody's in the middle of a very difficult time in their life, and you come over and say, I have a question to ask you, and it has nothing to do with the situation that they're dealing with. And you really have to think about it. What would be the most natural reaction? Please, leave me alone now. I'm busy. I have a tzara now. I can't think about that. I can't focus. So David HaMelech says, Hashem oiri. Hashem is my light. And if so, if Hashem is my light, he says, Mimi ira. So from who should I be afraid? To better understand the words of the Mitzudas Tzion, I think that the Radak is very helpful. Because Radak explains that the concept of L'David Hashem Ori, he says, since Hashem is like a light to me, he says, Ki hatzara doma lecheshka. Tzara, meaning difficult times, painful situations, it's like darkness. And since it's metaphorized as darkness, v'hatshua, and salvation from this pressing matter is like a oira, it's like a light going on. And that's ma'oiz chay, that's like gives me strength. So therefore, David HaMelech is saying, David Hashem oiri v'yishi, the way the Mitzudah says it, and especially as the Radak explains it, we would be understanding that Hashem is giving David HaMelech the strength. He's giving him the light, which is a metaphor for the ability to overcome a pressing set of circumstances. And since Hashem is the one who is giving him this ability to overcome that, Mimi ira, from who should I be afraid? And then he goes on to say, Hashem ma'oz chayai, Hashem is the strength, my life strength, and because he's my life strength, so mimi efchad, from who should I be frightened? That's how the Radak explains it. Of course, you could still ask the question, so why does it say L'David Hashem Ori V'Yishi? The way we're understanding it, Ori and Yishi seems to be six eggs or half a dozen. This is like the same thing. And there is, to some degree, poetic expression used in Tillim, so it's not really a question. However, the Ibn Ezra, who is a stickler for grammar and for the exacting nature of the words that are chosen, Ibn Ezra says, it has to be something specific. If it says Ori and it says Yishi, light is one and help or salvation is another. So the Ibn Ezra says, L'David, this is a chapter that of Tillim, David HaMelech is pouring his soul out. And he says, Ori v'Yishi. Why is it light and why is it help? He says at night he gets light, because that's the help you need at night, and by day he gets help. Then he says, there's a deeper way, more profound way to understand this. Ori, he says, this is referring to neshama. This is referring to the spiritual reality of a person. And the spiritual, by the way, could just mean the non-tangible part. It could be your consciousness. It could be the way you feel. It could be the stress that you're having. And all of a sudden, there's a light. Light is like, it's a spiritual thing. It's what we would call ethereal. You can't grab light. You can't put it in a box. It's, by the way, why Hanukkah, this has nothing to do with Ibn Ezra, but I'm just saying, but Hanukkah, we celebrate with light. And there's a famous commentary from the Levush that says, on Hanukkah, we celebrate the victory of the soul, the victory of the Torah, of authentic, true Torah teaching. On Purim, we celebrate the victory of Jewish survival in a bodily sense. It says, on Purim, we're drinking, we're making merry, we're having a good time. On Hanukkah, we're lighting candles. We don't have parties. And everybody knows when you have a yard site, what do people naturally associate a neshama with? With a light, with a candle. In fact, you call it in Yiddish, it's called a yard site light, a yard site lamp. So, because this idea of light and neshama are very, very close. There's a certain corollary between the spiritual reality and between light. Light is it's pretty physical. If you put your finger in a fire, it will hurt you plenty. But it's not fully tangible in a literal sense. So the Ibn Ezra says, that's Ori. Ori is neshama. V'yishi, my salvation, my help. That, says the Ibn Ezra, refers to the guf. That refers to bodily assistance, to physical, material, literal assistance to be able to overcome challenges. So let's talk about this on a simple level. A person could have a pressing matter, some kind of real issue, and they're concerned and they're worried, and they're actually being consumed by worry and concern. And they feel they don't have the strength to be able to function. And then all of a sudden they find the inner strength and they find the physical strength to pull themselves together and go do what has to be done. That would be Ori v'Yishi. And David HaMelech says, Hashem is Ori v'Yishi. Hashem is my light. Hashem is my strength. He gives me the spiritual power, the conviction, and the inner courage that I need. He gives me literally the ability, the wherewithal. So in that case, Mimira, who should I be afraid of? Then the Ibn Ezra goes on to say, Ma'oiz Chayai. Ma'oiz Chayai means the strength of my life's strength. Mimi Efchot, who should I be afraid? Here says the Ibn Ezra, this is what brings together body and soul. Because sometimes you can have an inner spiritual strength, but you don't have the physical ability to be able to do it. Or sometimes you have physically, you have the stamina, but you don't have the right frame of mind. You're not in the good space emotionally. You're not able to do it. You can go through the motions. You have the stamina, but you don't have the presence of mind. So he said, Mo'oiz Chayai, the strength of life. Life is neither of the two. Life is not a strong body with a weak spirit or a strong spirit with no body. Mo'oiz Chayai, the strength of life as we know life, is to bring together Kishur HaNeshama Beguf, to bring body and soul together, which perhaps more poetically means to bring ideas and action together. Because some things remain in cloud nine. And if they don't come into this world, it doesn't really change anything. This is Mo'iz Chayai. This is the strength of life. And Al-Kain, he says, that because of this, Lo Yifchad Me'odom She'afridim, I'm not afraid that people will separate body and soul, idea from action, inner strength from literal stamina. And that's how David HaMelech begins. That's his first statement. It's a statement of faith, by the way. And perhaps more than just a statement of faith, it's a statement of trust. I trust in Hashem implicitly. I know I will have the strength. I know I will have the wherewithal. I will have the means. I will be able to do this. Where will I get the strength from? Oh, David says, I know. Hashem. Hashem is Ori V'Yishi. So that's the literal meaning. Now, it's interesting because when we talk about light, there's an expression in the Gemara that says, Ner le'echad, ner le'meya. If you turn the lights on, whether you turn the light on for one person or turn the light on for 100 people, the light is the light. So light can't be specific to me. I didn't turn the lights on only for you or only for you. If the lights are on, the lights are on for everybody. So how could Hashem be Ori? How could he get possessive about a light? So actually, there's a very interesting medrash in the Yalkut Shimoni that kind of addresses this question. It says, you know, whenever we talk about light, so if the light is there, everybody can use it. How could you say somebody's light? My friend, my person, my beloved, they should use the light. My enemy is not allowed to touch the light. What's he talking about? If it's light, it's light. You can't, in a battle, you can't light half the battlefield only for your side. You can't leave your enemies in the darkness while your combatants are going to have light. But he says, Avlakadosh Baruch Hu, and he came. The Yalkut Shimoni says, with God, it's different. Because God created light, and he also created a light, which he says, is only put away for the righteous. That's what it says, Or Zeru LaTzadik. It says there's light which is planted, but it's only for the purpose of the use of a tzaddik. And that's what it says when God first created the world, and he said, let there be light. It says, V'yara l'kim esar kitoiv. God saw that the light was good. And because he saw the light was good, what did he do? So that the Medrash tells us, Hivdilu letzadikim lasid. He separated for the righteous for the future. He didn't want anybody else to use the light. In other words, it's within the pure purview of Hashem. Everything's within the purview of Hashem, right? So Hashem, we see when it comes to light for Hashem, that Hashem will give the light to whom is deserving, and others will not have the light. I think, I don't have a mushal for this, I don't have a metaphor with regard to light, but from my understanding, when we talk about hearing, and frequencies, there are certain kinds of frequencies that only certain kinds of people would be able to hear, or certain kind of frequencies that only animals can hear. Certain very, very shrill pitch or very low pitch, which actually they say they use it sometimes like as security fence. They have this sound coming out, and dogs have a sensitivity to sound. It will keep dogs away, but nobody else, and nobody else hears it even. So we have this example with regard to sound and the Doppler effect. We don't have an example in this world of being able to control light, unless you maybe a laser. Maybe a laser is a similar concept. Are you able to concentrate a light that the light zeroes into a beam? It's only here, and it doesn't go anywhere else. Maybe that would be a good metaphor. At any rate, this is the point what David is saying. Amar David, ani oimer mizmer al oiseir. I'm saying, I'm singing to Hashem now. I'm talking about that light. I'm talking about the light which is oiri, my light, the light which Hashem creates especially for me. So as I mentioned to you earlier, there's a Medrash Tilim, and it's also found in the Medrash Abba and Vayikra and Perek Chaf Aleph that talks about chapter 27 vis-a-vis the high holidays. It says, Rabbanim, Pasri, Kroi, Bereish Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim. Our sages interpreted these verses as alluding to the high holidays, to Rosh Hashanah and to Yom Kippur. Ori is Rosh Hashanah. Ori is the Day of Judgment. Yishi, my salvation, this is Yom HaKippurim. So why is that? Why would Ori be Rosh Hashanah, and why would Yishi be the concept of Yom HaKippurim? So there's a very interesting collection of writings from the Tzemach Tzedek in Tilim and Ya'el Ur, but the Tzemach Tzedek says like this. When we blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, we say a number of verses. And one of the verses that we say after the sounding of the shofar is, Ashrei Ha'am, fortunate is the people, Yodei Teruah, who know the sound, or who know how to sound the shofar, they know the sound of the shofar, know how to make the sound of the shofar. And then it says, Ba'or Panecha Yehalechun. We walk by the light of God's countenance. So the Tzemach Tzedek says, you see, actually Rosh Hashanah, with the blowing of the shofar, gives you a light to be able to move forward. That in the language of Chassidus, Ayidei Teruah de Rosh Hashanah Mamshichim Oir. Through the shofar blast on Rosh Hashanah, we draw forth, we actualize, bring into this world the concept of light. And he says, that's the pshat, that's the meaning of Hashem Ori. Others maintain another interesting kind of detail over here, that in a ner, it says ner mitzvah and Torah or. So it says like this, that a ner ainu me'ira elu l'fisha. A ner, the candle burns until it finishes burning. But when it talks about or is or, light is light. Light doesn't burn out. If the light is there, then the light is there. So it says ner mitzvah. The mitzvah's effect are not necessarily continuous. The mitzvah has an effect, and then the mitzvah is over, you got to do the mitzvah again. No, put on tefillin today, that's very nice. Next morning, you got to put on tefillin again. You lit Shabbat candles last week, it's excellent, it's wonderful. You have to light Shabbat candles now again, it's a new Friday night. Mitzvahs have to be performed constantly. But he says, when you have Torah inside you, when you know Torah, if you retain that Torah, it's yours forever. It doesn't expire. You don't have to do it again. Once you have a Torah idea, it's yours, and it's yours, nobody can ever take it away. So the Tehillas Maharitz says like this. Why is Rosh Hashanah is called Ori? Because the message to us is that the kind of changes we're supposed to make in our life on Rosh Hashanah should be permanent ones. Should not be in a way of a nair. Ori is Rosh Hashanah. The message to us is it comes, a new year is coming, make a change. They say the Rebbe Rashab, Rabbi Shalom Dovber, the fifth Rebbe, once said that every year on Rosh Hashanah one has to accept upon themselves a new stringency. New stringency, to be extra careful about something. And don't you worry. If you live for 180 years, you'll still find things to be more careful about. Yiddishkeit is very, very vast, right? So you say, okay, I'm going to do something new. So even a Rebbe would still find something every year Rosh Hashanah to make some kind of change in his life. Something extra, something they weren't doing before, whether doing it a little bit better, a little more meticulously, a little more devotedly, to do something that they weren't accepting, to accept upon yourself a new meticulous observance. Or a new meticulousness of a particular observance, even you were observing it already. And that's the kind of change of Rosh Hashanah. It's not like you make a change for Rosh Hashanah, it expires after a month. Hashem Ori means the change you make on Rosh Hashanah should be a lasting change. Doesn't mean it's the last change you should make. You should keep making changes. But you accomplish something, you reach a certain level, stick with it. Now take it to the next level. Keep progressing, keep growing. That's the story of life. It's not supposed to be going back and forth. Take one step forward, two steps backward, then you're not going anywhere. Take a step forward and stay there. And take another step forward and then stay there. And then continue to move forward. And as we get older, we're supposed to get wiser and more spiritual and more holy and closer to Hashem. And this is the idea of L'David Hashem Oidi. And that Yom Kippur is Yishi, is my salvation. Of course, that's the day when Hashem forgives us and cleanses us. And we get to start all over again. all starting anew. So this is for sure, it's easy to understand how that serves as a salvation. The Medrash says, that this is the spiritual alter egos of the different nations who come and they want to devour our flesh. That's a euphemism, that the Mekatreg as Yisrael, they come against the Jewish people. And what did they say about the Jewish people? It's not so hard, unfortunately, to say things about the Jewish people. They said, why does God love the Jewish people so much? They worship idols and the other ones worship idols. Idol doesn't have to mean a gold statue necessarily. Idol means you worship ideals other than the ideals of godliness. Or you believe in things other than God. You're looking at me, believe in things other than God? Yeah, something bad happens. But do you say, oh, it's all Hashem's will, no problem? Or do you freak out? Say, how could this happen to me? Who are you angry at? Hashem? Yeah, the idea really, if it sounds like a kol hakoyes, a person who gets angry, it's as if he worships an idol. If he worship an idol, he just got angry. Yeah, but getting angry means that I'm denying that God is in full control. Elu megala arayis, ve'elu megala arayis. These people behave licentiously. There are plenty of Jews that behave inappropriately. Elu shev chedamim, ve'elu shev chedamim. Not everybody's preserving life as life should be preserved. Not everybody, good, so everything's on levels, different levels. But we got our own trouble too. And there's even these people go against him. Unfortunately, we have some of our own. There's plenty of jails in Israel. And they're not all full of the Arabs. Unfortunately, there's plenty of our brothers, Jewish brothers and sisters that are criminals too. Okay, it's a problem. Not only in Israel, in Canada too, by the way. In every place where there's Jews, unfortunately, they're Jewish criminals. So we're not doing that great. We don't have such a perfect scorecard. And we're in this together. You can't say, well, I'm a good Jew. That's very nice for you, but how about your neighbor? No, that's not my problem. Oh, it doesn't work like that. We're all in this together. Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh L'Zeh. If there's another Jew who's off mark, I'm kind of off mark too. So this is how the Satan comes and is mekatri against the Jewish people. So what are you going to do? So the Medrash says something fascinating. How many years are there in the solar, days, pardon me, are there in the solar year, in the solar season, which idea of Shana, Shana means, comes from Hebrew, Shinoi, which means seasons. We don't have a solar year per se, but we do have seasonal years, so we have to keep adjusting our lunar calendar. Because we have solar years, but we have lunar months. And lunar months don't add up to solar years because you keep missing like a day every month. So at the end of the year, you're losing almost 12 days, 11 and 3/4 days. So how many days are there in a solar year? 365. Okay. The word Satan, if you do the math, it will end up to be Hasatan, sorry. Hasatan is 364. What's the message? It means all the days of the year, the Satan could come and point an accusing finger at us and say, we're imperfect and things aren't right. But there's one day a year where the Satan is silenced, where Hashem goes to bat for us and he defends us. That day of the year is Yom Kippur. So on the holiest day of the year, Omri Yisrael, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Jewish people say, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Tachana Olai Machana, if they will camp against me, meaning the Satan, the proverbial ministers, spiritual ministers that provide sustenance for all the nations of the world, Bezeis Anibotech, in this I am certain. What is in this? And this, as most of the Mefarshim say, refers to Hashem Ori V'Yishi. Yishi is Yom Kippur. And then the Medrash says, Sheiv Tachtonu B'Toratcha, you promised us in your Torah, Bezot Yavo Aharon. Bezot Yavo Aharon means with this Aharon will come. That's the Torah's expression of Aharon doing his service in the Beit HaMikdash, or the one who replaces Aharon, the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, in the Mishkan, or later on in the Beit HaMikdash, on Yom Kippur. So this is the idea of Hashem Ori V'Yishi, and now you see how it very much relates to the high holidays, to the beginning of a new year. But more so, we see how this is when I'm going into an uncertain period, when I'm going into a period where I don't know how things are going to be, how should a Jew approach it? With fear, with trepidation, with worry. You know, the proverbial Yiddish Mama always worries. Is that how we should be, always worrying? The Torah says, no, we shouldn't be always worrying. We should be relaxed, we should be calm, we should be peaceful, we should be tranquil. But how could you be all those things when you never know what's going to happen? Hashem Ori V'Yishi. We should have absolute trust in Hashem. Take a deep breath and know that you're actually a backseat driver. I mean, you're in the backseat. You don't have to be a driver. Don't be a backseat driver. Enjoy the ride. Hashem is driving this. Doesn't mean you should do nothing. You should do a lot of things. Do whatever you could do. But there are things that are beyond our control. Ah, those things that are beyond your control, those things you shouldn't worry about. Those things. So, whether Israel should or shouldn't declare war on Iran is not something you should worry about. Because there's no way that Netanyahu is calling you to ask your opinion if they should or shouldn't do it. So don't worry about it. You don't worry. What you could do is your part. I'm not saying it's not an issue. It's a big issue. And if your part means posting an article on Facebook or speaking to somebody of influence, you should definitely do it. But at the end of the day, don't worry. Trust in Hashem. He is our light. He is our salvation. Mushra be afraid. There's nobody to be afraid of. Afraid from, you know, a famous American president once said, it's like the fear, but fear itself. I don't really know what that means, but for a Yid, there's nothing to fear because Hashem is our light and our salvation. There's a famous story told that the Friedrich Rebbe, when he was arrested by the Soviets, so on the first night of his arrest, they roughed him up and they threatened him with all kinds of things, and they started doing an interrogation. They asked him how old he was, so he made a quick calculation from the Alter Rebbe's birth, and he calculated back to the Alter Rebbe. He said he's 170-something years old. What do you do for a living? I serve God. And he's answering the questions like, you know, as if he's sitting in a shtiebel. So they were getting very frustrated. This never happened to them. They never had a prisoner who came in and had such sang-froid and calm. So one of them pulled out a pistol and he said, I know what you do with a pistol today. I don't know if it's the same pistol. You do it with a Glock, you push it forward. And he put it to his temple and he said, this little toy has made many a person behave and start answering the questions as you want them to. And the Friedrich Rebbe, without batting an eyelash, said, that little toy can only frighten somebody who has many gods and one world. But I have one god and two worlds, so your toy doesn't frighten me. Hashem Ayri V'yishi. If that's what's supposed to happen, so that's supposed to happen. It's Hashem. I'm totally reliant on Hashem. Now, of course, the level of the Friedrich Rebbe is not something... We could hear about the story and we could yearn and strive to try to be that person, and then the next time somebody steps on your toes, try to be calm. don't wait for somebody to put a bullet on your head, chas v'shalom, but we shouldn't lose ourselves. Even in a moment of extreme concern, and it looks like everything is falling apart, Hashem Ayri V'yishi. Take a deep breath. Hashem is in charge. And Hashem is not, it's not just spiritually, it's not just the stamina. The Kibbutz Ezra says, Mo'iz Chayai. He's the source, he's my pillar of strength. So what's going to happen? They're coming out to get me. They're going to attack me. Now, some people understand this, some of the Mefarshim understand this, as they're coming, they're drawing near. But it's interesting that many of the Mefarshim understand this as specifically referring to the concept of battle. And even in modern Hebrew, we call combat, is called krav. Krav is combat. So Ibn Ezra says, "Bekarev alay merei, bekarev alay mereim is migzeres hamalamed yadi likrav," which is in chapter 144 in Tehillim, and there it certainly means the concept of combat or battle. But he says, "Achedim amru," others say, "Ba'asher yikruvu elay," they're coming closer to me. So usually, when people are far away from you, even if they threaten you, if they're not too close, okay, fine. But when they're getting really close to me, then I start getting nervous. This is not funny. So he says, even when they're getting close, Radak, by the way, does the same thing. He says it probably means battle, comes to the language of battle, but he says that it's also the idea of they're coming close to me. And they're not coming close to have lunch with me, they're coming close to have me for lunch. These wicked people, they're coming lechel es besari, they're coming to eat me. They're coming to destroy me. They hate me. They're my enemies. So David HaMelech says, "Hey, makashlu v'nafalu." They will stumble, they will fall. But they're coming close to get you. And so on. You trust in Hashem. If you trust in Hashem, the people are coming to get you. If you know that they're your enemies and they're coming against you because you are who you are, you're a Jew who believes in Hashem, "Hey, makashlu v'nafalu." Then you have nothing to worry about. With regard to those very words, the idea of "Hey, makashlu v'nafalu," that they have come and they're drawing close to me, so there's a verse in the Tzemach Tzedek. The Tzemach Tzedek says that tzoraiva oivai, that they'll become b'chinas lechem shali. Because we have this idea that says they want to eat me, you'll eat them. It says v'yachalta es kol ha'amim, you'll eat all the nations. It's an expression. Consume. Ki lachmeinu heim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't be afraid when you're going to spy out the land. They're like our bread. Well, in English, it translates, I eat you for lunch. That's literally how it translates. In other words, So we have this idea of Tzorei v'Oivai, that they're coming to get me, but nonetheless, I'm not concerned. The Chida says that there's a redundant expression over here. It says Tzorei v'Oivai, and then it says Kashlo v'Nafalo. So the Chida says like this. Tzorei refers to the Sitra Achra, to the negative spiritual forces on high. Because you know that even a blade of grass has a negative spiritual force that backs it up. So there's a spiritual force, that's the one who hates David. Oivai, the enemies, that's as they appear right here on earth. So these both heavenly and earthly, spiritual and terrestrial adversaries, kashlu, they'll stumble, that refers on high. V'nafalu, that refers below. So, therefore, I am not going to have any fear, and I'm not going to be concerned, even as they draw close, even as they come to engage in combat. The Tilos Maritz says, why does it say Tzorei v'Oivai li? If you say Tzorei, and instead it's Oivai, obviously it's li. Li means to me. So he suggests something very interesting. He says, there's a medrash that says that whenever you have the word li, eni zaz misham la'olam. It's la'olam alom alom, it's forever. For example, it says, the firstborn, the Bechor, the Pidyon HaBen, it says, Ki li kol Bechor. And guess what? We still perform this mitzvah until this very day. Hashem says, Li HaKesev Azov. Gold and silver is mine. Last time we checked, he's still in charge of the store. He doesn't give that away. Where else does it say Li? And what else is eternal? So the Medrash says, HaMalchus Li Olam. David and Melech's majesty, the royal house of King David, is eternal. That's what they couldn't stand. They couldn't stand the fact that David HaMelech's monarchy is an eternal establishment. That David HaMelech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. So that they couldn't stand. And that's what they came out to fight with. So David HaMelech says, was this my idea? Hashem gave me the Malchus. Why should I be afraid? I have nothing to be frightened from. Im tokum alay melchama, if they will rise up against me, and they will camp against me, like, you know, an enemy camp, lo yira libi, my heart doesn't become afraid. Why? Sorry. In the tachna alay machane, if they will camp against me, so then he says lo yira libi, I'm not going to be afraid. My heart's not going to fear. And in tokum lay bochama, if they rise against me in war, b'zois ani b'teach. In this I trust. I trust means I'm certain, as we explained. So David HaMelech is saying essentially that regardless of what is going to come his way. David HaMelech says, "Bezois." And this says the Mefarshim, says Rashi, "B'masha Omer L'Mailo." And what I just said, Hashem Ma'oiz Chayai. Hashem is the strength. That's what I trust in. That's what I'm absolute certainty about. And Mitzvot David says the same thing. He says, "Bezois" means Ba'amiras Hazois. And this statement, Hashem Oyri V'Yishi. So Rashi interestingly puts it on Ma'oiz Chayai. On the idea of the pillar of strength, the power of life, strength of life. So this David puts it back to Oyri V'Yishi. But really, it's all different levels of the same thing, especially as Ibn Ezra explained to us. So David HaMelech says, I'm absolutely certain that everything is going to work out. And because I'm so sure and I'm so certain, I have these people who I know they hate me, I know they're out to get me, I know that they outnumber me, but nonetheless, I am comfortable that everything will work out. Ibn Ezra suggests that this refers actually to the next question that David HaMelech is going to ask, and that we're going to be talking about Ezra Hashem on the go forward. I want to conclude with a beautiful rumination from our Rebbe about the words L'David Hashem Oyri V'Yishi, really covering these three verses, which is the first volley of chapter 27. David HaMelech's faith is trust in Hashem, his bitachon. So the Rebbe interprets this in a way that is specific to high holidays, a specific kind of approach to a time of tshuva, to a time of judgment, to a time of dealing with a new year, and how and why it is important that we recite this verse, or these collection of verses, during this time of the year. So the Rebbe's the teaching begins first with the fact, noting the fact that it says Hashem's name twice right away. L'David, Hashem Oyri V'Yishi, Mimi Ira, Hashem is my light and my salvation. And then it says, Hashem Oyz Chayi. It says Hashem's name twice, right in the beginning over there. Okay, so why does it say, Beis Pa'amim Shem Havaya? Why is it that two times we mention this, the name of Hashem? So the Rebbe says, you know, that if you will look carefully at the first time Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim are mentioned, as we explained, this is all about Yud Gimel Midas, that's the time of Elul, Hashem's mercy is being revealed, and the time of Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim is revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu after the sin of the golden calf. But Rashi says actually it wasn't revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu at that time, because when the Jewish people already sinned, how did Moshe Rabbeinu know the formula to invoke Hashem's mercy? And the answer is that it was revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu before the sin of the golden calf. And Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem then, what do you need all this mercy for? If they're good, so they're good. If they sin, so they sin. So they deserve whatever is coming their way. Why so much mercy? And God said to Moshe, really? Really, why do you need the mercy? Chayecho, by your very life, we'll see. What happens? What happens? A short 40 days later, the Jewish people are dancing around the golden calf. And God says, head of me, man, leave me alone. And Moshe Rabbeinu understood, if God said, leave me alone, he shouldn't leave him alone. So the Gemara says, metaphorically grabs God by the lapels, I'm not leaving you go until you... And he starts saying, Hashem, Hashem, kel racham v'chanan. So God says to Moshe, but you said if they're sinners, they should be consumed by the sin. And Moshe Rabbeinu says back, and you said that there's mercy. So that's how the story unfolds over there. And Rashi, in his commentary on Parshas Kisisa, he says that we have Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim Achas Koidim Sheyechta, one is prior to sin, one is after sin, of course you have to do tshuva, but after sin and tshuva, you have to give me the sedach. So the Rebbe explains this now, the two names of Hashem, and the Oiri, the Yishi, the Moiz Chayai, he explains this all in an exquisite way. Alright, he says, let's talk about sin. Should we talk about sin? I'm not going to do any sins, we're going to talk about it. Why does somebody do a sin? Why do people do things that they shouldn't do? All the present company excluded. People out there. Why do people do sins? Temptation. That's a very, very good point. Now, the question is, when somebody is tempted to do a sin, does he know that he or she is doing a sin? Or not know? So there's two ways. Sometimes we convince ourselves it's actually a mitzvah. That's 50% of the time. We're tempted, the Yetzer Hara fadreis the cup, and we want to get fadreis, so it's not a problem. And we convince, nah, big deal, come on, don't be sad, don't be silly, it doesn't mean anything. Well, you think God would have this and this expectation, and look what this one did, and they were, it's nothing, it's okay, it's fine. And we do whatever we do. Maybe deep down we have this gnawing thought, maybe it's not really okay, I really shouldn't be doing that, but we convince ourselves that I'm good, it's fine. That's one way the Yetzer Hara is very effective, and he gets us to do sins. Why? We don't want to do a sin. So if we do the sin, as long as you convince ourselves that it's not a sin, that's perfect. Well, really, it's not perfect because God gave us a Torah, and the Torah is not available for everybody's own, shall we say, freewheeling. You cannot decide, hey, God, you know this mitzvah you said such and such? Today it's suspended, okay? No, because, you know, I'll give you the whole explanation later, but today it doesn't really, no. It's still objectively wrong, and you're convincing yourself is essentially a spirit of folly. It's just not true. It's foolishness. And then there are some times that we know we're doing is wrong. You know it's wrong. Well, if you know it's wrong, why do you do it? Temptation. You said it. There are people for whom sugar is mamish fatal. They're not allowed to have sugar. They have diabetes. Why did they eat the chocolate? They said, so one says, it's going to be okay. It's one little piece. The doctor's not looking. My children are looking. Al-chaparain. And then the person says they know it's wrong, and they're not, and they know it's going to be. I can't control myself. It was such a powerful, intoxicating lust. I couldn't. So we have just two ways of sin. We acknowledge this. We know this is true. So how am I have the koyach? How do I have the strength to battle this? As the Rebbe says, the first thing is Hashem Oyri V'Yishi. Number one, the Eibishter, Almighty God, He lights up reality for us. So we shouldn't be able to obfuscate and throw up smoke screens and create confusion. I didn't know it was wrong. And Hashem gives us the moral clarity. And sometimes when we think we're doing the right thing, but we're not really sure, we have the strength to find out what's right. You have a good friend, you have a mentor. Somebody guys say, well, is it right or wrong? It's wrong. I'm not going to do it. Because I know it's wrong. That's the idea of Oiri. That's there, the situation is lit up. And then what happens when it's not really a question of if it's right or wrong, but a question is, oy, how am I going to control myself? So what happens? Hashem helps you. So he's oiri v'yishi. David HaMelech says, I'm not afraid. Who are the real enemies of David HaMelech? Or who are the inner enemies of David HaMelech? The Yetzer Hara. Who are the inner enemies of every Jew who David HaMelech is speaking for? Overcoming my Yetzer Hara, overcoming my own fears, my own insecurities, my own temptations, my own lusts, my own desires, which are unhealthy. How do you do it? Number one, Hashem illuminates things for us. So I don't have any more of that confusion. Number two, He gives me the koyach to overcome it. This is all koydim sheik chata. This is before we sinned. This is how we're going to stay away from sin. Oh, but I didn't learn this in time, and now I sinned already. Or I learned that, but that was last year, and I forgot it. Now I sin. Now what do I do? Now what do I do? This is Hashem's name is mentioned a second time. The first time is Hashem Oyri V'Yishi Mimi Ira is like the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim prior to sin. Then what happens after I sin? Hashem Oyz Chayai says the Rebbe. This is even a higher level of the divine name. Even after a person fell down and he did an Aveda. And this is not a good situation. And Torah is a source of life. And the opposite, if I go away from Torah, away from Yiddishkeit, that's the opposite of life. Hashem is chayoi. Which means Hashem gives me the koyach du tshuva. You can bounce back. There is life after sin. That's the second level. You understand? Hashem oyri v'yishi, here is your perfect shall we say, roadmap to stay away from sin. And then when I sinned already, and people feel depressed about the sin, and they feel I did so many things wrong, and I'll never be able to make things right again. And that's how it is, Chedeshel. First of all, Chedeshel, the Yetzer Hara comes along, and the Yetzer Hara says to him, what are you talking about? You're going to be a holy Jew ready for Yom Kippur. How are you going to be able to overcome all these temptations and lusts? Stop being silly. I got you in my grip. And the Jew says to the Yetzer Hara, what are you talking about? Hashem Oyri. Hashem is my light. I'm not going to listen to your confusion. Hashem, I'm not going to let you obfuscate things. And Hashem is Yishi. Hashem gives me koyach. And the Yetzer Hara laughs and he says, ha ha, I got you already. You already sinned. You did all these things wrong. How will you ever bounce back? And to this, the Yid answers, Hashem Oyz Chaye. Hashem is the source of my strength. Because Hashem is the source of my strength, even if I fell into sin, I can bounce back. And even if this is a kind of, they're coming to eat me. They're coming to swallow me up. I'm getting swallowed up by my sin, the wages of sin, which oftentimes consume a person. A Yid still has the koyach to be able to reach beyond. And this is how we begin to understand L'David Hashem Ayyiv Yishi, the meaning of this chapter of Tehillim, and especially as it relates to the special time of the year of Elul all the way until Hoshana Rabbah. There is another section of this particular explanation of the Rebbe, which relates to the later verses, which we'll talk about as we get later. But just to make it to close for this class, what have we done? We went through the first three verses. We have a historic sense. We have a sense of tradition, where this fits into Jewish life. And we learned about a Yid's faith, despite whatever darkness or fears might come his or her way. L'chaim.